He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys. What's going on out there?
A lot going on. Well, so to speak, we are all quarantined these days, or should be self-quarantining anyway. You know, what to do with our time and reflecting on the car business, the car industry.
Let me just interject for a second.
Sure.
There were, I would say, I don't know how many, I was driving back from the station on Sunday, the 5th, and I looked to my right and there were, I would say, 7 cars congregated at Lime Rock in a line. And I was trying to figure out what was going on, and come to find out that some people had just driven up, and they were just hanging out there.
Huh. Well, we know the track is closed, and I don't know how long it will be closed, but it's, you know, the public events have been put on hold. We don't know if the big event on Memorial Weekend will happen or not. We know the first public race that was scheduled for earlier mid-May has been postponed. Track days, club days have been put on hold. And interestingly, you know, I've been working with the Lime Rock Drivers Club to start an online racing series. I'll get back to that later. I don't know. The track is not open, and certainly not on Sundays, as we all know.
Right. No, it was just an interesting gathering place, I thought. And I would just encourage people to just be a little more mindful of where you're coming from and what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, for sure. I mean, we all think it's, you know, it's fine to get out and drive our cars, and it probably is. I personally have not had the need or the desire really to go out and drive. I think the last time I was on the road was last Thursday, so that was what, like, 5 days ago, and I had a reason to go up to Pittsfield, and, you know, I, at some point going there, I went over the Mass Pike, and it looks awfully quiet on I-90, and it should be, right?
One would hope. How does the online, I'm sort of just having heard about the virtual Grand National, which is, you know, a massive horse race, a steeplechase race, you know, the big deal, big fixture of the UK sporting season. I'm just wondering, how does your online, what are you thinking of online?
Well, so for the last week, I've been actually extremely busy. Since all the major car racing sanctioning bodies have either canceled or postponed their races scheduled, you know, these last few weeks and in the coming weeks, the online racing community has just known a boom. And actually, as we mentioned last week, you know, NASCAR, Formula One, IMSA, IndyCar have all started holding virtual races opened to their professional drivers who are actually either competing in the series or are former stars. In the case of NASCAR, there are, you know, Dale Earnhardt Jr. is a retired driver, and he's been competing in the series. And they just had their second or third race now at Bristol this past weekend. And, you know, these races are being broadcast on TV, and people can't believe they're actually watching them, you know. And you see comments of people saying, "I can't believe I'm watching a virtual race on TV." But this is the world we live in. And on a more local level, this is what I've been working on for the last week or so, is developing an online series for Lime Rock's Drivers Club. And actually, we can host an online racing series for just about anybody who wants to get into virtual racing, which is pretty easy to do, actually.
Yeah, I would think, I would actually think that there are certain, I don't know how to say this without sounding ancient, but having played with my brother's Hot Wheels when I was a kid, you know, I can't imagine that people wouldn't want to play around with some virtual racing. I can't imagine it.
Well, it's interesting because in the world of gaming, I guess racing is probably the only, and I say this carefully because I don't know if it is the absolute only game where the virtual world really tries to replicate or duplicate the real world, and actually does so pretty convincingly. And, you know, over the last few years, we've seen drivers who have, competitors in the virtual racing world being put on the spot and put into real race cars, and the results have been sometimes pretty impressive in the sense that, you know, virtual drivers who've never really driven real race cars are instantly fast in a real race car, and sometimes that doesn't seem to be the case. So there's a certain skill set that transfers from the real world to the virtual world and vice versa. But not obviously not all skills, nor not all the feels you get in a real car can be duplicated in the or replicated in the simulator.
Right. And do people know how to get onto a simulator? I know that sounds foolish, but I just, like, for example, how would I find you in your simulator?
Well, me and my simulator may be a little harder than if you go on virtual racing. You know, if you Google it right now, the returns are pretty crazy. And basically, the and I hate to use this word, the game that has emerged as the most realistic and the most usable platform to conduct real races is iRacing. iRacing.com, company out of Boston, Massachusetts, and they have had a membership of about 100,000 drivers or virtual drivers worldwide, and I would say about half of them are, I don't know if half of them are U.S.-based, but it's 100,000 worldwide, and I would say it's pretty much 50-50 between road racing and oval racing, because they hold, you know, NASCAR-type racing, IndyCar type racing, both oval and road, and then they hold a bunch of road racing series. The interesting part is that they have partnered with NASCAR, with IMSA, with IndyCar to hold these, open to professional drivers only series that are being broadcast sometimes on YouTube and sometimes on other platforms and sometimes on TV. But it's really, you know, the subscription to iRacing is pretty straightforward, and then you need a pedal set and a wheelbase, and off you go. And if you have a computer and a screen, that's all you need to get started. And then from there on, you get hooked, and you spend more and more money and more time.
Why not? And how does it work in terms of monetizing?
That is the $64,000 question.
Sorry,
When you get the answer to that,
I'll call.
Yeah,
all right.
I mean, they're different. They're obviously different avenues, and in a couple of years that I've been involved in this, I've been working several aspects of it. I still believe in the simulator being a tool. For driver development and driver coaching, so we can put drivers in the simulator and coach them in a pretty effective way. And there are some things you can analyze and coach in the virtual world with a driver sitting in a seat and not in a car, actually out on the track. There are certain things you can do that you cannot do in a real car. Now, granted, it is not a real car. I mean, and there will always be that difference, and there should be.
Oh yeah, but like as with a flight simulator, it's not. You got to start somewhere. It's an opportunity to start building the basics.
It's an opportunity to start building the basics for sure, and it, you know, it brings us to the bigger questions. You know, bigger question. You know, and I've over the last few years I've talked with car club guys, and some people. Are drivers, and some people are just car collectors, and some are both. Obviously, the world of racing simulation appeals to drivers, people who like the act of driving, who like being involved in a race, like the strategy involved in racing, like the adrenaline. But obviously, a simulator does nothing for the car collector who likes to have that piece of art, whether it is an old muscle car or a brand new sports car. Obviously, the virtual world does nothing for those senses, if I can say.
All right. Is there, because in all things there is history, is there anything percolating on the racing history front? Do people, you know, I don't know if there's the race car, great drivers or great races or great, I know, for example, that College Hoops, NCAA ran some of the all-time great games in the last month or so. Is there anything like that going on?
You know, I'm sure there is, and this is a time to go back and, you know, you can go back and watch movies, read books about whether it's racing or just the cars in general. You know, on the movie front, there are, you know, classics to watch for those of us who are, you know, I've seen some, I haven't seen them all, the movie Senna comes to mind. Ayrton Senna was a Brazilian driver who tragically died, was killed in 1994, who is regarded still to this day as probably the best driver, at least in modern times. Even though all of his records have been shattered, he kind of represents a mix of the old school approach to racing and you know, the beginning of the new era of modern cars. The guy that was certainly not perfect. Emotions ran deep, you know, and his battles with guys like Alain Prost in the late 80s, early 90s, are just phenomenal. And watching footage of him, of Senna and Nigel Mansell in the early 90s, 1992, are just amazing racing images. And that's just one of the movies that comes to mind.
But if one were to look, there would be. There are things to find. Now, on a present note, I'm seeing many of the car companies seem to have changed their, I shouldn't say car companies, I should say the manufacturers have changed their messaging, as we touched on, as we touched upon last week or the week before, to basically say, hey, you can buy a car and we'll essentially waive your everything until.
Well, here's okay. Back to the real world
with
and
is
reality.
My question.
You know, the car industry is you know, at a standstill. I mean, there is absolutely nothing going on as far as production. Right, all the car manufacturers have halted production. In GM's case, there's no start date in sight. I mean, we don't know. I mean, and others, you know, Ford has said, you know, first it was early April, then mid-April. Obviously, it's going to be much later than that. In the meantime, they're still trying to sell cars, obviously. FCA, so Chrysler, has just announced 0% for 84 months with no payments for the first 90 days. I mean, it's pretty mind-boggling, right?
Yeah. How's that going to work?
time will tell. I'm not too optimistic. I think there will be some casualties in the automotive world for sure. But in the short term, what's interesting to see is you know, and I mentioned it briefly last week. There are a consortium of British Formula One teams namely Mercedes, which is based in the UK, even though Mercedes is a German company. Mercedes, Aston Martin, Red Bull, the Williams team, and McLaren have come together to produce, I think it's a new ventilator, and it's more of a respirator mask, a breathing aid that was developed by Mercedes and a university engineers in London. In the development time was, I think, less than 100 hours. I mean, they brought it to market in a record time, and they're producing 1,500 of those units a week. So filling the need for the UK's lack of ventilators. And then, you know, in this country, I don't know what the big manufacturers are doing. They are working on producing or getting ventilators to market. I don't know if they've produced any yet. There's some nice stories on the sidelines. There's a company in Massachusetts, some car shop, has started making masks and eyewear, face masks. And this is an automotive shop with experience in fabrication, upholstery, and they are now producing. They've you know, designed this mask and are making the design available to whoever wants to produce it as well. And they have a GoFundMe page to generate some income. So, interesting things, but not much really in the car world per se.
Right. But people are on... Are people on tenterhooks waiting to see what's going to happen, or are there quiet discussions going on in the background? Or
I'll be honest with you, I and our listeners, I have not been very motivated myself. So I you know, keep in touch with what's going on. You know, new cars are still coming out, but they are few and far between, and you really don't hear a lot about new models coming out. One that struck me, and I'll tell you why in a second, is the new Genesis G80, which is the third generation of this Genesis model built by Hyundai. And you know, I saw pictures of it, and it does look pretty cool. And I saw a picture from the three-quarters rear view, and I thought, God, that looks familiar. And sure enough, you know, I thought about it, and it looks like an Audi A7, you know, the last generation Audi A7. And then it goes back to car design, and sure enough, the guys involved in car design at the Hyundai Group are, you know, this Belgian guy, Luc Donkerwalk, and... who was at Audi for many, many years before that. Anyway, that's just one thing that struck me in new things coming out.
All right. And is there anything in terms of safety tips? Because there are people driving out there, and I did see a fair number of motorcycles and whatnot. So...
Well, I think safety, you know, it always comes down to, I think the biggest thing we can do is, just train our eyes, and I think that saying look ahead is just not good enough. I really mean train our eyes. We have a saying in racing that says that, you know, the hands follow the eyes. If you look down, you're probably gonna turn the wheel one way or another. I remember, you know, years ago racing go-karts, going down the straightaway, you have no review mirrors on go-karts, and I remember initially, you know, you turn your head to see who's coming on the side of you, and that's when you make a side maneuver that you shouldn't be doing going down the straightaway. Same thing in the car. You know, look where you're going, keep your eyes steady, but keep your eyes moving. You want your eyes to move from far down the road to looking into your review mirrors to back on the road. So I always say, you know, moving at... Keep the eyes moving, look ahead, And but you have to train yourself to be able to keep the eyes on the road.
And as with skiing, you know, you look at the tree, and I don't ski. I mean, but this is...
Yeah, you look at the tree, you're going to hit the tree. It's that simple.
And it's just amazing to me because I once, total bunny slope, right, looked at the tree, hit the tree. So this is before I almost fell off the chairlift. You know, this was not for me. And I was, you know, with some lovely people, and I was quite young, and it just seemed like, wow, this... However, looked at the tree, hit the tree, and went... Okay, maybe I should find another. I didn't realize that it was in fact a thing. If you are looking at something, it's almost like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Look at where you want to go because you're going to go where you're looking.
And as simplistic as that seems,
it is very simplistic, but it is so true. You know, I think, and I don't know much about it, but you know, think about James Dean's accident, the famous accident in his Porsche Speedster back in the 1950s. I believe he hit the only tree that was in a 100-mile radius, and I'm exaggerating a little bit, but how did that happen?
Yeah, and I think that there are, I think moving forward in the last, 70 years, I think there's probably many more examples of that than you would, perhaps not as famous and as heart-stopping for others, but it just, how do you do that? And that is how you do it, I guess. Any other thoughts about just carrying on, or do we just sit tight and wait? And by the way, I am wondering, do you, in self-isolating, driving, it just seems inefficient to drive from one county to another. Do you?
Yeah, I think that, you know, this quarantining thing, and I don't know if this is where you were going with this, makes us think twice about, you know, getting in a car and going somewhere. Is there a reason to drive 20 or 30 or 50 miles, or can I do this more locally, or do I even need to get in the car?
Right, and I just wonder, because, again, after this past weekend, I did notice a lot of people using their car as, okay, I can get out of the house. As a matter of fact,
cabin fever. I mean,
I totally get it. I as a matter of fact, somebody said to me, oh, we're going to drive out to our beach house, and I said, no, you're not. No, you're actually not. But it was just even that it was raised as a thought was a little bit interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, mostly we're sitting tight. And again, I have spent a lot of time behind screens in my simulator, working on these virtual races. And so, I haven't driven much. But that will come to an end. We will get back on the roads. But I think things will be different. I think the automotive landscape will change.
And we will certainly talk about it. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.
Have a good week.